Morning, everybody. So we're going to be talking about the voice of the Lord this month. But let's think about this for a little bit. Would you remain in a close relationship with someone who never talks to you? You never hear from them. Can you even imagine being close to someone you never hear from? Would you want your own dad to never talk to you? I think the psalmist has these thoughts in the back of his mind at the very least, and he's wondering, could you possibly serve a God, your Father in heaven, if you never hear his voice? But the psalmist is coming at it from the other direction. He's not asking it from our perspective. He's telling us from God's perspective. And what he's telling us is that God cannot imagine leaving you alone. God cannot imagine not having input into your life. And what he's basically saying is something that if we were to put it in the most simple modern terms, God likes to talk. And he's moreover asserting that he's always talking. He always has, and he always will. So we're going to explore God's voice this month, but particularly this morning from Psalm 29. And as Evan just read for us, he starts out with this: ascribe to the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, that is the angels, ascribe or give to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name. Yes, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Now, he starts out reminding us of something that's important up front. If you plan on listening to God, the first thing you need to get straight is who he is in contrast to who you are. And God is glorious and he is in heaven. He is our Father, and we should cry out to him, Abba. He wishes to be emotionally close to us. He wishes to have our prayers, but we are still approaching a holy and heavenly God. We have to keep those two things always in mind. This isn't some light and momentary relationship. This is a relationship in which you recognize that God is great and I am not so much. And we, when we talk with God, should give him the glory that he deserves. But he's also pointing out something essential for the rest of the psalm, and that is he's a strong God. He's not just glorious, he's powerful. He can make things happen. He can split the rocks open. He can cause the sun to go dark. He can rip the veil from top to bottom. He's not just a talker, he's a doer. And he can get it done. And if even the angels praise God for these things, certainly so should I. His very name, just his name, deserves our worship. And we should be worshiping his holiness. Now, these thoughts are essential for us to keep in mind as we go into the rest of the psalm, so that's why he begins with these things. So don't forget the power and glory of the God who is talking. That's his point. You got to start out with a reference point if you're going to have an appropriate conversation with somebody. And so now the psalmist is ready to move in to hearing the voice of the Lord. And he gives us right up front why this power and glory of God is so important. Because the voice of the Lord is powerful. It's majestic. I think sometimes we forget this. We should rightly contemplate verses that talk about God speaking in the whisper as he did to Elijah on the mountain. That's something we should keep in mind. That God wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the storm, he was in the small still whisper. But even when God whispers, we ought to listen. Because even in the whisper, his voice is majestic and powerful. It's like the roar of many waters. It's powerful like thunder. I don't know if you had this experience this past week, but I did. I was standing outside and thunder boomed right over me. I was glad I didn't wet myself, frankly. I was that terrified. And if thunder is that way, we should understand that the voice of the Lord can also be that way. Now, it can speak great comfort. It can console us. The Lord draws near to the brokenhearted. And so it's not one or the other, it's both and, given any particular circumstance. But clearly here, in Psalm 29, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist is concentrating on its power and majesty. And even the word majestic conveys how powerful it is. It's regal. The very King of heaven is speaking to us. So it conveys how sovereign God is. Which takes us back again to the imagery we saw in verses 1 and 2. And here's what he's building up to. God controls everything by just merely talking to it. He can speak and things happen. Now we get, you know, kind of impressed by that when we get these newfangled TVs and you speak into the remote and your favorite show comes on. Ooh, that's kind of powerful, right? God doesn't even need a remote control. He invented that technology long before we were even born. God could speak and it would happen a long time ago. And he's still doing it today. That's what the psalmist is telling us. This isn't a past occurrence from the psalmist's perspective. This is a right here and now thing that God is still speaking and the wind and the waves are still listening to him. Because he has that kind of majestic power. He's bigger than everything else. That's basically what we're being told in these first four verses. But we're also being told we're not alone. And we're certainly not helpless. The voice of God, as intimidating and majestic and as powerful as it can be, is exercised for the benefit of his children. My mom came down to spend Thursday night and Friday morning with us, and she recounted one of her least favorite memories. My mom was famous for a whole bunch of things, but to us boys, there was one thing in particular. She could be chewing us out. I mean, yelling and screaming, never cursing. My mom never cursed. But she could be just really giving us what for, and the phone would ring, and guess what would happen? Hello? I mean, like there was a switch on that phone. She could go to just being as loud and angry and mad, and that phone would ring. Hello? And guess what happened as soon as that phone hang up? It didn't help her mood at all. She was twice as mad as before because she got interrupted when she was on a roll. We like teasing Mama about that. She laughs along with us now that she's 83. So, God's voice is always under control. Sometimes he speaks softly and tenderly. Sometimes he speaks loud like many waters, like the thunder. But it's always for our benefit. If he's comforting us or correcting us, either one, it's for our benefit. If he's loud or quiet, it's for our benefit. And so what the psalmist is telling us in these first four verses is the word of God, hearing his voice, needs to be like the air you breathe. That's how the angels respond to it. That's how we should respond to it. And sometimes hearing God's voice can be easy, and sometimes not. Sometimes we have to listen more closely. Sometimes we have to listen to actually pay attention and understand. Some things are crystal clear, and other things are like, I didn't get that the first time. Would you mind telling me again? And I admit it fully, and I think the psalmist is admitting fully, it can be a challenge not to hear the voice of God, but to actually listen to it. How many times are we told in Scripture that God speaks, and maybe one or two people understand it and hear it, but the rest of the crowd's like, what was that? It thundered or something. Something's going on. I couldn't understand it. They heard the noise, but they didn't listen. And attempting the challenge of hearing God's voice has its own reward. But we do need to tune in and listen. And it's often in this struggle to pay attention to our Father in heaven that our largest growth can happen. Then in verses 5 through 9, he goes into a lot of imagery here. You can read these verses again. Evan did a great job with them. We picked up Travis this morning, and we were leaving his house, and as soon as we turned out of the driveway, we saw a large pasture, and there were some pretty cows in there, and Travis goes, aren't those cows pretty? And about that time, one of the calves came hopping along, you know, like calves jump around. And we all got enamored by that little playing cow. And none of the adults were doing it, but that little one, boy, he was hopping around. And the psalmist is saying, like, even the mountains do that when God talks. The mountains just skip around like little calves. The trees split open. Tongues of fire come in to happen. And in verses 5 through 9, God can command all of his creation, and every part of it listens. The unstated thing is, except whom? Sadly, what the psalmist is indirectly telling us is the trees listen better than we do sometimes. The mountains skip like calves, the waters calm, the seas part. And yet, sometimes we struggle to hear the voice of God. This is not something new to us. This has always been true. God can command the wildest of waves. He can shake the firmest of mountains. He can break apart the strongest of trees. But he's also giving us other imagery. His voice is even in the deserted places. He's the God of the land and the sea, even where men do not dwell. He's the God of the hills and the valleys. You cannot localize him, and you can't stop his voice from ringing out over all the earth. That second part is the part that this particular psalmist is concentrating on. If it's busy and a lot of people live there, God's talking to it. And if it's lonely and nobody lives there, God's still talking to it. He rules over creation by his almighty voice. He not only spoke it into existence, but after it came into existence, he continues to speak to it. And he speaks by it or through it. Ultimately, what verses 5 through 9 are about is not only reinforcing for us the power of God's voice, but the plentiful nature of it. It's everywhere. You can't go to the highest mountain or the lowest valley and not hear it. You can't stand among the trees or among the rocks and not hear it. You can't be out on the waves or on dry land and not hear it. The voice of God is there. It's plentiful. And that plentiful nature of God's voice is what he's concentrating on here. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day after day they pour out speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech, nor any words, in which his voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. God's voice is powerful, but in verses 5 through 9, it's also plentiful. You have to work hard to not hear it. Let that sink in. You have to work hard to not hear it. And then he comes down to the end of the psalm. And this I would like to read again. Beginning in verse 10, Psalm chapter 29. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless us, his people, with peace. Now we can see that that voice is not only powerful and plentiful, but that voice is purposeful. And the purpose of God's voice is to give us, his people, peace. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. There are times when the voice of God should shake you to your core and scare you out. But even then, even when he's being stern and corrective before the phone rings, his intent is to give you peace. And the peace of God, his peaceful voice sounds simple to us. But it's not. Because God's voice doesn't come with options. It's not like a buffet. I can pick and choose what I want to listen to. It's not like that. You're either like the angels in verses 1 and 2, or you're like all of creation in verses 5 through 9, but you better hear it. You better listen to all of it. It's not optional. Peace comes from hearing the entire will of God. Not the bits and pieces we like. It also doesn't come with add-ons. Well, I know God said this, but I'm going to build a hedge around it and stick on some new information I think you need to hear. That's God's voice plus. And yet, how many times are we told that nobody should add to or take away from God's words? You can't pick and choose like it's a buffet. You can't take away from it. You also can't add on to it. Well, I know God said that, but I'm going to stick something up next to it like it's equal. No, that steals the peace of it. There's no peace in that. You are either hearing the voice of God or you are not. And you either take God at his word or you do not. If you listen and put your trust in him, that brings peace. And nothing else will. That's why in Philippians, Paul said, let your cares and anxieties be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, we should talk to God and cast all our cares upon Him, but we should also realize He is talking to us, and He is trying to take all of our cares from us. Sometimes He has to do that by correction, no doubt. Sometimes He gets to do it by comfort, which I think is His preference, no doubt. But either way, the psalmist is declaring to us that his voice is intended to give us peacefulness, repose, consolation. The bottom line is in this psalm, and we're going to see plenty more evidence for it. We're not going to stick here this month. But the bottom line is God is talking. Which begs the question, am I listening? There's a verse about this somewhere. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the words of God, the message that God has talked to us. Surely there's a reference point for that in Scripture, but the psalmist is also saying there's a reference point for that in nature, and he's also saying there should be a reference point for that in your own experience. Now, let me make this abundantly clear. If you're not going to listen to God's written word, it probably won't do you any good to try to hear His voice, His actual voice, because you are wasting your time, my friend. But I think it's an equal mistake to reduce God's talking to merely His written word, because this psalmist, as well as many other verses we're going to look at in the Old and New Testament, declare otherwise. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Beginning in verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And so, leaving the crowd, they took Him with them into the boat, just as He was. Other boats were tagging along with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. They're about to be swamped. They are being overwhelmed. But Jesus was in the stern, the back part of the boat, asleep on a cushion. And they woke Him. And they said, "Master, don't you care that we're drowning?" So He woke, arose, and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And upon the water was a great calm. Listen carefully for God's voice. So He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have Have you still no faith? To which their natural response is to be even more afraid, right? Don't be afraid, just trust me. And they're like, oh, no, no, we're pretty afraid. It's a challenge. Even when you see the voice of God having a great effect in your life, it is a challenge to cast off that fear and to have the peace that God's voice is intended to give you. What I'm saying calmly is sometimes we hear God's voice and we should be afraid, but more often than not, what you see in Scripture is we choose to be afraid, even though the voice is trying to calm our fear. Peace be still. Anybody know who John Ebner is? Think Vincennes history. John Ebner. Somebody's muttering it. I can't tell if you're saying the right thing. The ice houses, right? John Ebner's ice houses. A little bit before our generation, but the building was still there when some of y'all were kids. All right. Initially, they had to go out and cut ice and keep it before he actually developed a refrigeration plant and manufactured ice. And it was famous in Vincennes and supplied ice to a huge chunk of the Midwest. He made a lot of money here in this town. Let's just put it that way. But back in the days when they had to go out and harvest the ice off of frozen waterways, there's a story. I don't know if it goes with John Ebner's ice house, but I heard it in connection with his ice house, although I expect that that is apocryphal. I couldn't verify it. He lost his very expensive pocket watch in the sawdust that was over the top of the ice. He didn't know where, he just knew. He had it going into the ice house, and they're supposed to be breaking for lunch, and so he pulls out his pocket watch to make sure it's lunchtime, and nothing comes out of his pocket. No chain, no watch, no nothing. Panic-stricken, I mean a gold watch back in the day, right? I don't care how wealthy you are, you lose that gold watch, you're going to be looking for it. He shuts down the entire operation and puts every man to work searching that sawdust, looking for that pocket watch. Finally, in exasperation, in the middle of the afternoon, they're like, well, we got to eat lunch, boss. They break off the search. They go out and get lunch. One little boy, the son of one of the workers, stays behind. And as the men are coming back from lunch, he walks out of the ice house with that gold pocket watch. And the owner said, how did you possibly find that watch? We searched frantically for hours. The boy said, I laid down in the sawdust and I listened. And it took a while, but eventually I heard the of that pocket watch. And I went one direction and it got quieter, so I went back the other direction. And sometimes a little child can figure out how to listen to things better than us adults can. Be still and know that I am God. And sometimes, despite the great majestic power of God's voice, we will not hear it. In the midst of the storm, we will hear it in the calm and the quiet that comes after he stills it. Psalm 46:10, by the way, I figured most of you knew that. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. I'm going to say something that I don't mean to be hurtful or bold, but we've spent quite a few generations telling people not to listen for the voice of God. So they don't. And then we're frustrated why they don't. Psalm 29 is telling us we should still be listening. Psalm 46:10 is telling us we should still be listening. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 and following is telling us we should still be listening. And most importantly, I'm telling you this morning, if you want the peace that only God can give, you should still be listening. And if you're not listening to the voice of God, you cannot have peace. And if you don't have peace, it's likely because you're not listening to the voice of God. Because going back to Psalm 29, the Lord speaks so that His people will have peace. If you have any need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.